it's just like too good to be true, but I just feel so good on the carnivore diet. There's no reason for me to look anywhere else. It's yeah. just the carnivore diet is the way.
Bella, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give me a quick introduction? You do quite a few things, and I found you online. I was like, first it was Instagram, then it was YouTube, and then you started popping up here. And I was like, this person's just all into meat. And then I was like, oh, they're kind of doing carnivore. And so I'm really curious to hear like the full picture of how you got to where you're at today and what that evolution was. So why don't you just take us first what you're doing now currently, and then we'll just backtrack from there.
Sure. So I am now almost 2 years carnivore, 23 months to be exact. And I started the carnivore diet on January 1st of 2019. It was a New Year's resolution to better health, really, and to just long-term healing. Because right before I went carnivore, I was vegan. So it was my sixth year being vegan. And I was just desperate to kind of reverse all the damage that that diet had. Yep. done after those 6 years, the biggest damage being losing my period completely. Amenorrhea, that's what they call it. But I just didn't have my period for about 2 years already. And it just really alarmed me that it was never coming back. And I really, really wanted to be able to have that peace of mind, knowing that, yes, I can have kids if I wanted to, but not having a period, it was just really scary. So that's pretty much the biggest reason why I decided to end being vegan. So I went carnivore literally overnight, but I honestly saw just benefits and results within the first week. I started feeling better, stronger, and happier. And then over time, I started seeing huge skin benefits, hair benefits. My period came back within 2 months of just eating carnivore. So I really, really regained my health gradually over time. Still to this day, I'm seeing benefits.
Wow, that's awesome. So a couple questions about that. I mean, to go from vegan, it sounds like hardcore. Maybe are you the type
Very.
Of person that goes pretty extreme?
Like, yeah, I was like zero processed foods, whole foods, plant-based style, but inspired by Freely the Banana Girl. So I always say I was inspired by her, and she really preached this, you know, lots of fruits, lots of raw fruits during the day, and then after four cooked starches.
And how did you go from that to making the connection to losing your period and these other health issues? Because it seems like maybe in the vegan community, and I don't know, I'm not super into it. It seems like they wouldn't, in the vegan community, can make that connection, they would try to blame it on something else. So did you have to like go outside of like the people you were following and like maybe Google, like, why did I lose my period on a vegan diet or plant-based? And like, you had to kind of find some external sources of information and really open your mind, it sounds like. So what was that process like to go from that to like diagnosing that your diet might be the reason that's happening?
Yeah, for the longest time, I really believed that it would, you know, come back, like my period would come back if I just stuck to it. My body was just adjusting. Like, that was, for the longest time, what I believed in. And I really believed the vegan diet was the best diet in the world. It was a lot of just me being misled and brainwashed by everything that is being preached within the vegan community. So it wasn't until I started being curious about the diet, you know, that isn't vegan, maybe incorporating some animal foods. And I do have to thank my doctor, because I took a full panel blood test, and my doctor really sat me down, almost slapped reality back into my life, saying that, you know, you are so deficient in so many things, either take supplements or really consider eating animal foods again.
So credit or her credit. I mean,
it really is. So I started researching on Google and YouTube, vegans starting to eat meat again. And for some reason, all these things and content was popping up about vegans going carnivore. So that's really what piqued my interest. And then I dive deeper and I came across Joe Rogan's many podcasts and many channels just centering about the carnivore diet. So it was through just obsessive research and watching and listening that I started to believe that, you know, carnivore diet is something I should try now.
Yeah, that's great. So the first day though, I mean, what does that look like? Paint us a picture for the first day in the first week. And did you hit some, like, did you have any side effects of going full meat? Like, you know, some people that just go from standard American diet to carnivore, like gut has to take some time to adjust. Like, there can definitely be issues there, but what, like, was it just pure awesome, or did you kind of go through some ups and downs?
Yeah, the first bite, I would say 100% pure awesome. I felt so amazing.
Like, screaming for it. Yeah.
Like, thank you. And I really felt like I came back to life. And the first bite was only eggs, just some Vital Farms eggs scrambled lightly with some Kerrygold butter. I remember exactly what I made. Just two eggs too. And it was just delicious. I felt like I was elevating and just coming back to life. And then the next day, so the first day it was just some eggs and butter because I didn't want to overwhelm my body. But I still think it was too much because those 6 years I was pretty high carb and pretty low fat. So all of a sudden I'm introducing all these nutrient dense fats. So my body's digestion, that would be the biggest issue, was my digestion. Lots of running to the toilet, loose stools, and just a lot of diarrhea. But the beef came in second day, and I really focused on beef only because I did see a lot in the carnivore community that it's the most easy to digest, you know, the most nutrient dense all around. So it was beef, eggs, and butter for a very long time. And I did have a huge adjustment period, mostly the digestion.
Did you do anything else to mitigate that? Did you try taking any supplements, or you were just like, I'm going to give it time and I'm going to stick with basically steak and butter, which is now your handle on social, steak and butter gal.
Yeah.
That's how you got it.
Yeah. So I really did stick with steak and butter and eggs just consistently. But I do remember incorporating apple cider vinegar, really just a small amount in the broth that I would make with oxtail. If I had oxtail, I would just put some apple cider vinegar in the Instant Pot. And that somehow helped me at least not feel nauseous and want to throw up. I'm not sure if that really helped with the digestion, but I didn't take any pills or supplements like probiotics. It was just mostly not eating cooked fats. I do find eating raw fats instead of rendered cooked fats helped with not inducing diarrhea.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I think about that, I do feel like, especially if I do a pork shoulder and you know how you got, there's a ton of fat in there. Like if it's not really good pork, it gets sick immediately. And so like I try to skim off all the fat or whatever. So pork's actually something for me that makes me kind of sensitive. And even a lot of beef, like a beef roast, a lot of fat that can happen as well. There's also histamines and stuff to consider. So that was about a year. You're doing steak, butter, and eggs.
Yes.
And since then, and like what happened after that? And then where you're at now? And like, and then I want to get into like, what is your philosophy around thinking about a carnivore diet? Because like, you're obviously doing this to like diagnose like a major health issue. And so you're like a convert because you don't want to go back to the way that was. But I try to connect those people, like even myself included, I do it to reduce allergies and feel better and whatever. How can we also get this idea to more people and how can they think about it?
Yeah. So I went in still being a student, a very busy student, and I was still studying at Juilliard, pursuing my master's degree. So I just really was desperate for a diet that could support that busy lifestyle where a lot of my day is just in the practice room focusing on one thing, and that's just practicing. So I needed a diet that could help me sustain long days, feel energized, and not have ups and downs, crashes all the time like the vegan diet gave me. So the carnivore diet did help me with that. I felt stable energy, good mood, and extreme mental clarity. So already I was just feeling, wow, like this diet is awesome, you know? But like health-wise, I really wanted to get my period back. I wanted to regulate my hormones. I was suffering from a lot of acne scars, hair shedding around my hairline, just a lot of hair loss, but also my autoimmune skin issues. So I suffer with eczema ever since I was a kid. I remember just always going to my doctor for more medication, just a lot of itching. And then psoriasis popped up when I went vegan, and that was centered around my face, especially the temples. So now I do carnivore diet to keep my eczema and psoriasis at bay. And really, they never flare up anymore, especially when I'm focusing on beef, butter. Yeah, just simple. And then my period is perfectly normal and there's no pain. So it's just like too good to be true. But I just feel so good on the carnivore diet. There's no reason for me to look anywhere else. It's just the carnivore diet is the way.
Yeah. So do you... have you included other foods now? And are there certain like carnivore proof trigger foods that you have to like kind of, you know?
Yeah. Over, okay. So first 6 months, really just beef, butter, eggs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, liver here and there, because I was curious yep. how I felt. But now I actually eat liver every other day raw. But I started incorporating new meats like pork, chicken, turkey, lamb. I hated lamb. Oh, mm-hmm. I incorporated these things after month six. So mm-hmm. firstly, lamb, I just can't like understand why lamb is good. It has this weird aftertaste. And I think I may be the only one, but it's just very gamey for me. Mm-hmm. Pork kind of triggers my eczema here and there, but mm-hmm. if it's fatty pork and quality pork like pork belly, it's fine. But chicken, I just don't sit well with chicken. I get flare-ups, and I just don't feel full. It's not fatty enough. Turkey is the same. So this is why I really stick to beef. But I also love raw fatty salmon. That's something new. But that's the only seafood I would pretty much eat. And then the organs. I'm happy to like try new organs, but liver and kidney is what I eat on a regular basis.
And yeah, we actually just got Ashley Van Houten's, she just came out with the organ meat cookbook. Mm. It's really great. So we've been making recipes out of that. We do liver, nice. Liver crisps here as well. We make them, buy those. Those are awesome.
Nice.
What do you think your macros are at? Have you ever got down to a calorie counting, macro tracking, like how much fat to protein, you know, and like you're relatively lean. Were you ever like, were you leaner on the vegan diet, or did you put some weight on, or do you just kind of like the type that can eat what you want and you kind of have that skinny gene?
Yeah, I'm naturally, well, I'm definitely tall. So I'm 5'10". Right. So I think I can get away with, you know, weight gain, fluctuating as well. When I'm this tall, but I always felt like when I was vegan, I was skinny fat. Like there was no tone. There was no like tightness. It was just skinny, but lots of fat. Mm-hmm. And I did measure my body comp. So I lost a lot of my body fat when I went carnivore and my muscle went up. So I also didn't really work out when I went carnivore, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Regarding the macros, the only thing I measured for a period of time just out of curiosity was the calories that I was eating. And the first 6 months, I remember I tracked my calories and I was eating up to 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. I know, it's crazy. Like nowadays, my appetite is not that hungry. Yeah. It's like I used to have this insatiable hunger, but that makes sense because I was so deficient
in so many
things.
Yeah, you're trying to heal the nutrients it needs. I mean, that's what hunger is. It's primarily a protein signal for most things, well observed. And then obviously nutrients, which we don't need as much of. And so that's also why I ask anybody on a carnivore diet, like protein is kind of a thing. Like people come into carnivore, they want to lose weight. So I usually tell them, optimize protein. Like make sure you're getting 25-35%. Like these are different ranges. And most of us under eat protein anyways. And so like your version of carnivore, is it like you get a steak and you just kind of eat it and whatever the macros are, it's good? Or is it like, do you optimize for leaner meats or fattier cuts? You know, like do you have, if you had to guess what percent of fat to protein you were consuming, would you even like have a ballpark?
Okay, well, I do know that I feel great on 80-20 ground beef. So if that helps, like I'll eat a pound and a half around 80-20 ground beef, and then I will supplement with another stick of butter. So I don't know like the exact ratio.
That's a lot of fat, actually.
Yeah, I would say I'm really quite high in fat. Uh-huh. I just have this natural craving for fat. And so I just kind of feel my way around it because it changes every day. But right. I'll always end up eating a stick of butter and I always freeze it and it's just like this delicious snack for me. So I always have this craving for fat and it never tastes disgusting or too nauseating. It's just delicious.
I need to freeze some butter actually. I always talk about that and I just never remember to do that. That is so like, yeah. So you say you always eat a stick of butter, like every day or every meal or like what is
it? Yeah, like that standard, you know, skinny stick of butter. I'll have one every day. If not straight out from the freezer, I'll incorporate it in my scrambled eggs or I'll throw it with my steak. But it's usually ends up one stick a day.
Did that happen by accident? Was it just like you started eating more butter and you're like, I feel great. And then you're like, you just kind of decided on a single stick a day. Or did you like make a choice to try to get more fat in for some reason?
Yeah, it wasn't a choice. It was just that strong craving. Like my brain was just signaling, eat that butter. Because butter just, it just like, it tasted so good to me. So I needed more. So that's how I started, just eating butter.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so What does an average day of eating look like? Like, are you doing IF in any way? Are you doing multiple meals? One big meal, two big meal?
Yeah, now I'm very comfortable doing one meal a day. But it's not something strict because when it's around that time of the month, I do get hungrier. So I'll do two meals a day. But because I've always had such a huge appetite, I'm able to put down enough calories and enough food to last throughout the day. But I always say that intermittent fasting, I don't think is not, it's just not necessary to succeed and feel the best on carnivore. I kind of just naturally fell into this OMAD, too mad way of living just because I eat so much fat. It carries me over. But I have to say the first 6 months, I didn't do any type of fasting. I couldn't care less. I just ate whenever I was hungry. And I think that really helped with the healing because I never felt hungry anymore.
So you ate when you were hungry and then you were probably more hungry in the beginning when you were recovering, but then you kind of fell into this almost an OMAD type of thing, which I think is probably the closest approximation of how our ancestors would have eaten. They would have been eating a bunch of fat and protein when they had it on a kill or whatever, and they would have shared it. And then, you know, no food till tomorrow or to whenever the next one is. So yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like with fasting for people that are coming from a standard American diet, it's a good, simple way to try to like remind themselves that they shouldn't just be snacking, especially on carbs and junk food all day. Right. Like, and so having certain parameters around, because what happens is your metabolism and your appetite, which is this intuitive thing that should take care of itself if it's optimized, right? Like yours seems to take care of itself now, but getting to there, then you don't have to like worry about tracking your feeding window fasting. Literally, if your body says I need nutrients, you get it. And then when it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just like a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so that's that's kind of how I think about it. So you talked about skin issues, like basically all the benefits across the board. People come to you because you've been doing YouTube videos and you're on Instagram, right? So like you're obviously getting people that ask you questions and comments and things like that. So you have kind of like a pretty strict carnivore. Like, do you, in fact, here's a good question. Do you ever cheat? Like, are you ever eating like pizza here and there or doing anything like that?
Never.
Just never?
I just can't risk it. Like, I don't want to go through another horrible phase of cystic breakouts, or I don't want to go through like bleeding on my arms from the eczema. I haven't cheated. Besides, I don't know if you count like a couple pieces of cilantro, green onions when I go to my boyfriend's home and my mom cooks, you know, like his mom cooks. Like I feel rude if I don't.
So, I mean, more like the occasional pizza or, you know, like just complete and utter junk food on the other end, you know,
but I just can't
risk it. So you're strict carnivore. It sounds like you're a high fat, like on the higher fat end of the carnivore, almost being an OMAD. And so when people are coming to you and asking you questions and this and that, I mean, like what are some of these common, you know, questions you get and how do you kind of approach it? Are you maybe just saying, just do this, try this, and then figure it out for yourself? Or are you saying like, you know, most people can do like a mostly carnivore, you know, and enjoy your cheat meals every so often? Like, I'm always interested to hear other, especially influencers in the space, like how can we kind of make it more accessible for more people? So what would be your take on that?
Yeah. So for my YouTube channel, I really try to share information through my experience. I always disclaim saying that I'm not a doctor. I don't have any degrees in health. So I'm only sharing what has worked for me. And that's also what I say to private Instagram messages. But I do see a lot of messages from young ladies around my age because they see me heal and they see me lose all this weight and they're so inspired. So they ask me questions regarding weight, a lot of questions regarding how to lose weight, how to get lean, a lot of questions regarding healing acne, how to prevent breakouts, and how to get the period back. So these three are the most popular topics that I get asked. So I really try to focus a lot of my videos around those things. And I find that whenever I share what I cook, like what I eat in a day, those really help the people watching. But I also say that, you know, being ketovore is better than any other diet, like any standard American diet or standard Chinese diet. As long as you're keeping the carbs low and prioritizing good proteins and high animal fats, you're already doing such a huge favor for your long-term health and your body. Yeah. And I'm actually doing that for my boyfriend. He's kind of gradually going into ketovore and I already see amazing results. His mood, his skin is improving. So carnivore, strict carnivore is not a must at all. It just depends on your lifestyle and what you need to heal.
And yeah, your individual health. So
yeah.
What do you define as ketovore? I've actually never heard that phrase. I've heard of like keto carnivore, but is it?
Yeah, it's basically keto carnivore, but just mashed into one word.
So do you eat plants?
Yeah. I see it as like mainly carnivore, very animal based.
Yeah, like a little
with
bit of plants.
Some, yeah, low carb fruits and veggies here and there, maybe some honey. Because for my boyfriend, he loves Greek yogurt with honey. So I consider that in ketovore. Absolutely sure. Not. I don't know. People think honey is carnivore, but that can be very triggering. So I stay away from honey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the problem with labels. It's like your version of carnivore is not even the same as mine. Even your version of strict carnivore might not be the same version of mine. Maybe I eat more chicken or more this or more that, or maybe I don't eat pork because somebody else does, you know? So yeah, I think we have to be careful with the labels. And that's why I'm always like, I've been toying around with the idea of like, I consider myself 80-20. I'm at 80% carnivore, 20% omnivore. And sometimes it's like 100% for the day. Or if I'm like traveling, I might have some plants, right? But I'm always returning to that baseline. And another thing that I like to tell people is that, you know, focus on really good animal protein. And it's like the base of, and I say protein and fat. So really good animal foods. That's where you should be getting the bulk of your nutrition from. And not feeling the need to really eat anything from animal kingdom. That's probably the biggest awakening for me is like, I used to feel guilty if I don't eat my vegetables, right? Because everybody said, your vegetables are good for you. Get your greens in or whatever. And I just don't have any desire or need. If I want to eat them for enjoyment, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But I just, it's completely changed my idea of like whether they're good or beneficial or needed or not. And so, you know, I think that's probably, it's just a much simpler way to that we can just help people think about food and not be so neurotic about it, not have to label things so hard, you know, and you definitely have a unique situation. It reminds me of Michaela Peterson, Jordan Peterson's daughter. She does something called a lion diet, which is basically, I guess it's like beef and salt, almost similar to what you're doing. I don't think she does any butter though. And she does it because her issues flare up like crazy. Like one olive, like throws her in a tailspin 21 days. She's got like arthritis and depression and all these things. Like it's insane that kind of stuff happens. And so in fact, speaking of that, eating disorders. You also get comments about that. You also have that. Did the eating disorder kind of lead you to vegan and then it made worse by vegan or you know, and do you feel like you've like solved that just because carnivore gets you what you need? Like run me through kind of that history and thought process.
Yeah. So I went vegan last year of high school. I was a senior. I was 17, 18 years old and I was very much obsessed with being skinnier, losing more weight, especially being on stage performing. I wanted to look my best and not look like I gained weight. So I was just really obsessed. And I saw Freely with her amazing lean body. And I thought if I ate vegan like her, I would be just as lean. So it was very much vanity reasons when I first went vegan. Sure. But then I started believing, oh, it's so ethical. I'm doing the world a huge favor by being vegan. So I joined that movement as well. But I think the vegan diet definitely worsened my obsession with, you know, being skinny. And I did develop a bulimic way of eating, just kind of restricting to the point where I can't take it anymore. And I would just binge on so much rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, oatmeal, fruits. Yes, they were healthy, but I was just eating too much. Yeah. And I would be bloating like none other. It was a lot of pain and emotional dissatisfaction as well. So that just worsened throughout those 6 years. And when I went carnivore, January 1st, New Year's, I also promised myself, I'm not going to restrict anymore. I don't want to count calories anymore. I'm sick and tired of this way of living. So that's why I really focused on eating whenever I was hungry. And that maybe ranged 10 times a day where I would just sit down and eat. But I think that really helped with telling my body, like, I'm not going to starve you anymore. I didn't have those horrible eating disorder patterns of purging and then starving anymore because I was just feeding my body nutrient-dense, nourishing foods. The carnivore diet definitely healed my eating disorder.
It's incredible. It's like, who's writing a prescription for the carnivore diet? Like, that's literally what should be happening. So a couple questions about that specifically. It seems like, from what I've seen, women that have, or girls that have an eating disorder will tend to like opt for those foods that maybe society says are lean or healthy or like low fat this or that or whatever. And it seems like it's like this double whammy of like, you're already making kind of bad food decisions, but now you're making these foods that you're choosing foods that have no nutrition whatsoever, no protein, completely protein starved, right? And then you're trying to balance that with like your psychological need to like lose or feel like you're not eating calories or whatever. And then maybe that's why the binges come, because like you just do that for too long. Your body's like, literally enough's enough. We need to eat. And then you go through the vicious cycle again. I mean, what is that going on in your head? Like, you know, like what's maybe that internal dialogue, and what like maybe lies did you tell yourself to justify it or whatever?
Yeah, it was definitely a huge mind shift. What you covered was exactly what's going on with young ladies. You know, this whole pursuit of being perfect and beautiful, this body image brainwashing is just the whole diet that centers around that image is salads, you know, like zero yogurt, empty calories.
Like low fat yogurt.
The lower the fat, the emptier the calories, the better. So, you know, in that world, everybody says eat a salad to be healthy. But now I truly believe that you need to eat a steak. You need to eat a stick of butter to be skinny, to be healthy, to be happy. Because when you eat empty calories with no nutrients whatsoever, you're going to get hangry, you know? And when you feel hangry, like that saying, hungry, angry, you're just so hungry to the point where you will binge. Your body will crack.
Make you eventually, right?
Yeah. It's just not sustainable. So this is why I really tell all the ladies who inquire about weight loss, I tell them, stop counting calories, stop restricting, because that's only going to last for so long. The weight is going to come back, if not more. So focus on nutrient-dense foods.
Since you've been going carnivore, and you said you made the decision to not restrict or like do that to your body, like you made like an agreement with yourself.
Yes.
Now you also, we talked about you have like that extreme personality, right? So that definitely helps in that regard, because you made a decision, you stick to it. But like for those of us that maybe we have our waxing and waning, you know, like we're human, the environment is always out to get us basically. So what are like, did you have any, you know, periods of time where like you were tempted, or did you have any thoughts like, wow, I'm eating a little stick of butter. Like I'm not going to be lean. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to be that. Or was it just like so overwhelmingly, you felt so much better and looked so much better that you're like, I can just look in the mirror. Like I know how I feel, you know, like it almost like it removed the tricks your mind used to play on you.
Yeah. So I definitely gained weight. I'm not going to deny that. In fact, I say that all the time. You know, weight gain among women especially is quite common when people go carnivore. I gained 25 pounds and I must say, it's crazy. Of course, it was a struggle, you know, looking at myself and seeing how my clothes were fitting so much tighter. Right. It was hard, but I felt so good that it kind of canceled that out. Mm. Also, I was receiving frequent comments from my family and my close friends, my classmates, saying that I just look healthier. I really just hung on to those comments as well as how great I was feeling. And I kind of pushed through that weight gain. I just believed so innately that this weight is not permanent. And I must say, Kelly Hogan was a big inspiration because she kind of went through the same thing. She kind of went all in and gained all this weight, but she felt so good. And then she lost it. And if you look at her now, she's absolutely stunning. So it's just, I always say it's really temporary. You just have to focus on feeling your best and not being so obsessed with that weight gain. Just try to look past it and embrace your curves, your newfound curves, you know?
Yeah, maybe so, get off the scale completely, you know?
Like, yeah, I actually threw away my scale.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right.
Okay, so you gained some weight, but then... and then you said you maybe lost some, or was it just also like more muscle, more tone, more weight, and your body kind of like refilled out, but then you still look lean and fit, because you know, the lean fit physique could maybe be heavier than the skinny physique, but you could look better, right? So
it looks way leaner.
Where was that for you?
Yeah. The body recomposition is the biggest marker. I don't measure my skill even to this day, but my body fat went down to athlete level and I wasn't even working out, but it was because of the carnivore diet. So I don't think that would be achieved with diet full of carbs and vegetables, much less a vegan diet. So I do think the diet really did most of the work in leaning up my body and just shedding all that fat. So I do get comments that I look really lean and really fit when I don't really even work out much. So
so you gained weight, but like how much of a difference are we talking about? Like, let's get some numbers. So did you gain the weight and then kind of keep the weight, or did you go up a lot? Cause like you were just eating so many calories and your body was overcompensating. And then you're like, your body went back to the homeostatic, like this is what you're supposed to be weight. Like, yes. What are those different levels? Like, if
so, right. So I started off carnivore, freshly off the vegan wagon, 128 pounds. And then it was rapid weight gain because I was eating like 5,000 calories a day, like five pounds of steak. And I think I was gaining quickly within the first 3 months, 3-4 months, I was already above 150 pounds. So yeah, it's just really fast weight gain.
Did you feel like, did you look like chubby in the cheeks, or was it just like pure, you still look,
I think, lean, it was
filling out.
Yeah, it was just filling out evenly throughout the body, the face wasn't like that noticeable, I think. Just the clothes, of course, for myself, the clothes felt tighter, but I didn't really feel like too much bigger. And then by month 6, the appetite finally started to settle down. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that insatiable hunger. And then, so month 6, I started naturally falling into 2 meals a day. And I say naturally because I was just eating so much. It really, I just didn't feel the need to eat until, you know, a couple hours later or the next day, same time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I saw the weight gradually come off. So next 6 months, I started losing all of that extra weight. And then the next year, which is kind of approaching to where I am now, I'm now, I want to say like 125, 126 pounds.
That is crazy.
So it's like lighter from where I started, but it's like more muscle, less fat. So it must be really a huge change going on within my body composition.
Yeah. And internally too. You must have had some of that visceral fat and the organ fat and the things in places that you probably shouldn't have had that just like recomped out. Like, that's just crazy that you went to 150 from like 125, then you went back down. So how is your appetite also change? Right. So is your appetite, are you still like just downing multiple steaks a day, or is it like a comfortable 2000 to 3000, maybe a single meal calories meal or something like that?
So, okay. So first, like when I open Instagram, the stories, like the archive will always bring back stories I posted years ago, like the same day last year, you know? And I always see just how much meat I ate last year. And now that I think about it, I really can't put down that much meat anymore. Even if I tried, like I can't do 3 pounds of steak in one sitting anymore. So my appetite definitely shrunk quite a lot, but I do focus on high fat still, if not higher fat, you know, 1 to 2 sticks of butter in a day. And I do feel really good and satiated. So I think it's a lower protein, higher fat, but the calories probably also a lot lower.
Right. Yeah. Your body just kind of figured out what it needs and that's mm-hmm. what you do it every day. Wow. That's awesome. I mean, we could obviously talk for days on end. So maybe we'll do a follow-up show. I want to run you through the rapid fire. And I do have one last question. So if you're recommending somebody to start on the carnivore diet, because there's so much they can do, like obviously like sourcing and meat and cuts and how to cook it. And like, there's like a lot of things here. What would you recommend people maybe like focus on, like a core 80-20, and then maybe also like something that maybe a mistake that you made when you first got started that you just, maybe you obsessed about too much or wasn't worth the effort, or, you know, like mm-hmm. one good recommendation of focus and one thing to like let it go. Like, don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So the sourcing was a huge thing for me, where I was just so confused and lost, like, where am I supposed to buy these foods? But I must say Whole Foods and Trader Joe's has good prices. Whole Foods, especially if you're Amazon Prime, like you can get 80, 20 gram beef for like $3.99 a pound. So I think you should first look around your area, you know, check out your farmers markets, your local farms before you start committing to the carnivore diet. But on top of that, it's not necessary to jump straight in. In fact, I don't recommend it, you know, given the horrible symptoms that I had to go through, the diarrhea especially. So transitioning in slowly is quite important. And seeing how great my boyfriend's doing, just transitioning slowly is just that big of a sign to recommend, you know, just transition instead of jumping straight in. Although I know a lot of people are excited to just jump straight in for those amazing benefits, but also don't be expecting amazing benefits within the first week, not even within the first month. You really have to be committed and stay patient, you know, and it'll just roll in naturally, slowly. It's not going to be instantaneous overnight results, especially with your weight. But I do also think minimal variety is important. Don't try to eat all the seafood, all the chicken, pork, just every meat you can find. Good you know, point. Just focus on beef, butter, eggs. Honestly, what I did.
Keep it simple, right? Just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Maybe add in other food. So you're saying like, don't jump straight in where like just steak and and butter and like steaks all day. Maybe you do steak and butter as like a balanced meal, but you still have like your sweet potatoes, like some other like clean food that you can tolerate as like a buffer almost.
Yeah. Like the greens that you love, you know, just have that salad you always eat and then slowly wean those out while adding more of the meats.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Like, you know, you see a lot in carnivore. It's like, that's not carnivore. You know, like it's like people, it's like diet dogma. They want to attack like what is or isn't. And it's like, okay, maybe it's not, but you don't need to work up to straight carnivore. Like you can work up to straight carnivore. You don't need to beat it tomorrow or the next day. And then
exactly.
Do strict carnivore, maybe do for a period of time, and then you introduce certain foods that you enjoy and you listen to your biology. And like literally you should build the perfect eating plan for yourself. Maybe it includes honey, maybe it doesn't, maybe it includes some roughage, maybe it doesn't, maybe it has fermented foods, maybe it doesn't. I just think that like for most people that that's what we should be doing. And we need to like get the message out to the world. I mean, like literally look at the trends. Do you ever cover that at all? Or are you more just like, this is my personal health journey, whatever? I mean, I believe that this could save millions of people. I mean, to this way.
Right. Me too.
You know? And so,
I really just try to promote the benefits I've seen from incorporating more animal foods. But, I'm also very much aware of what's going on with the vegans because they love to hate on me and they love to bring out channel.
Right.
Yeah. So I've been featured recently on Goji Man's channel where he kind of just criticized the way I ate. So I do notice a huge difference in like perspective. The vegan community is really just very closed-minded. They don't accept anything outside of vegan way of eating. But I do see a lot of acceptance in the carnivore community. Like there isn't diet shaming in this community. People, you know, talk about, I like to eat some greens on the side, and people accept that. Whatever works for you, works for you. You know, everybody has different lifestyles, which matters in deciding what diet works for you and, you know, the health issues that you have to heal and what you enjoy and feel good on. Like you don't have to be strict carnivore to thrive.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So this has been awesome. Let me run you through a few just quick fire questions and then we'll get your socials out here so everyone can follow along with your journey.
Sure.
And then we'll say goodbye. So here's a few, let's see. What book have you read? This could be anything. It's not just diet, but let's just say a big book that has had an impact on your life.
First thing that comes to mind is Dr. Jason Fung's intermittent fasting books. Mm. He has quite a lot, but he also really promotes like a lower carb diet.
Yep.
But his thoughts and his research on intermittent fasting is really fascinating. And I think that really helped me just feel good on promoting like, I actually don't eat for hours on end and I feel great. But his books were great.
Yeah. Obesity Code's a good one. And there's he has quite a bit, but Obesity Code's what I've read. That was really good.
Yeah.
Favorite purchase under $100 that had an impact on your life in some way. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be food, but it could be food, nutrition related, or whatever.
Under 100?
Under 100, or like at least close enough to 100.
Yeah. I think the air fryer that I love, the Cuisinart, I don't think that's under 100.
Mine was like 80, but you know, I think it's it fits the category.
Yeah, cast iron pan, I would say then, for
cast
steaks.
Cast iron pan?
Perfect,
No, that's what I do every day. So air fryer though, what's your standard go-to, like what do you throw in there? How do you use it?
Oh, I just throw in 2 to 3 steaks in there and I call that my meal. It's so convenient.
Hmm. And so do you just like you season them down and how long do you cook them? Are they usually like kind of cooked or you pull them out and they're like medium rare? Like how do you usually eat your steaks?
I love steaks like blue rare, like bleeding with a nice sear. So my trick is I preheat the air fryer. So I just let it heat up for 5 minutes and then I just throw in the steaks, literally unseasoned, just the steaks.
Okay.
And I let it cook like 3 minutes per side. I'll flip it after 3 minutes and I take it out and I eat it.
And so it's got it kind of has a crust like?
Yeah, it has this amazing crust, especially when you preheat it. Yeah.
So, and there's not really much oil you put in there, right? Like, cause the air fryer is
nothing. I just let the fats in the ribeye or whatever steak do its thing. I don't need to add fats.
You don't add salt at any point? Or
I don't. I actually prefer not seasoning. Just like, no salt.
Have you ever tried freezing beef? Like, do you ever eat any raw, like carpaccio or like tartare or anything like that?
Yeah, I love it. But I do also like the comfort of something warm.
Yep.
But the only thing raw that I eat a lot is raw salmon.
Yeah, raw salmon.
Yeah. Awesome. And raw liver.
raw liver. That's
right. Intense.
So that's, I need to try that myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So favorite Instagram account under 25,000 followers. Is there anybody particular you'd like to call out that you'd like to follow online?
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, just today I featured some stories. So Tamara Blodgett, I love all that she has to say about the carnivore diet, about her health journey. So I think her handle is author. I just have to give her a shout out. She's the sweetest. Author Tamara Rose Blodgett. Right now I'm obsessed with her. And she's a carnivore, zero carb carnivore.
That's awesome. So I'll have our editor find her on
Instagram
and put that in there. That's great.
Yes.
Okay. So two more. Let's see. What's the last gift you gave somebody?
The last gift I gave someone, the last gift was a delicious beef soup that I made for my boyfriend last night. That's a gift.
Lucky guy. So favorite. All right. One more. What are you currently binge watching? If you do, I don't know if you have time for that.
Oh yeah.
But like, what's a show that you just recommend everybody binge watch?
Yeah. I'm a homebody. So Shameless. Like I'm still trying to finish that show, but Breaking Bad, like so good.
Still haven't finished it. Everyone says I'm crazy. I'm like one season in and they're just like, you're crazy for not watching.
Oh, it's a long one, but yeah, take your time. It's really good.
Awesome. I do have one more. So favorite cut of meat. I mean, I guess it's steak, but is there like a specific cut
that other than ribeye steak? All day ribeye.
Yeah. It's literally the best. I know. Tenderloin used to be, when I was growing up, when getting into food, everyone's like, get a tenderloin. And I'm like, tenderloin's the most boring cut of steak.
I know. It's pretty lean.
It's lean, no fat, no flavor. I just will literally never buy a tenderloin again.
Even filet mignon. Like, what is the hype around filet mignon? Yeah, it gets so expensive, but so lean. Yep. Whatever.
Yep. Okay, Belle, this has been awesome. I appreciate you coming on the show. Where can people find you online?
So at Steak and Butter Gal for Instagram and Steak and Butter Gal on YouTube. If you want to check out my music making, I play piano and violin. You can find me on Opus Bella, OPUSBELLA on Instagram.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah. And you're intense on the piano. I play a little bit and I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Helps you with that. And all that.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
that's crazy. Just burning through the keys.
All right, Bella. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. So much fun.
Please always remember that the members of the Ancestral Mind podcast are not, in fact, medical professionals. They're not doctors. They're not nutritionists. They are simply providing this entertainment for you to do your own research and to entertain yourselves. So please consult a physician before changing your diet. Not everything works for everybody, and make sure you always do your own research on everything you hear on this show and outside.
Hey everybody, Colin here. Thanks for listening to that show. I want to let you know about my newest podcast over at Escaping Fragility, a show about building a life for yourself, being safe, being secure, having a plan B, so that if this crazy world of 2020 continues or gets worse, which a lot of the numbers are suggesting it will, then you and your family will be protected. A lot of my content for my personal brand has been focused on giving people the knowledge, the expertise, the skills, and just the awareness of some of the craziness that's going on so that they can protect themselves, so that they can fight back, so that they can be civilly disobedient, so that we can stymie the ever encroaching spread of government and of corporate and political agenda. If more citizens do not stand up, fight back, speak up, there's going to be nothing left to protect. And I don't like fear mongering, and I'm generally an optimistic person, but 2020 has stressed me out. At first it didn't, but then it did. When I really saw what was going on, when I read a little bit between the lines, and even now, the craziness is continuing, and I don't see it letting up anytime soon. The masses are too easily manipulated. And so I'm more concerned what's going to happen in 2021 when the next flu season comes through and another coronavirus is weaponized, and then who knows what's going to happen? Travel restrictions, mandatory vaccines, chipped and prodded like cattle. People think it can't happen. They stick their head down, but they did in Mao's China. They did in Stalin's Russia. They did in Nazi Germany. And then it was too late. And who pays the price? It's always, always, always the citizens that are having faith and that are just hoping things get better. They're the ones that always pay the price. So the first thing we can do is protect ourselves and our family, have a plan B, have an escape option, and then we can help others. Head over to Colin.coach, get on the AM5 newsletter. You'll get all the shows every week. And you can also find me on YouTube and iTunes or Spotify or Google Play. Get prepared before it's too late.